You know, when we gaze on an incident like the one we just heard about, how do we enter into it? You know, it's not just a question of good guys and bad guys, you know. Of course, Jesus is doing a good thing, and these very prejudiced people are trying to find something against him, and they're enraged that he healed a man. Even though he gave the principle about is it okay to do good on the Sabbath, you know. I wonder whether it wouldn't help a bit if we, once in a while, as we're going to do this morning for a few minutes, reflect on, like, today, the letter to the Colossians, to help us open up our minds to the depths. That, when we look at Jesus Christ, there is the eternal Word of God acting in and through his humanity. But the source of all his actions is divine. And they touch us through the Word, and they are meant to heal us, either of our prejudice and anger, if we're on that side, or of our whatever we need on the other side. It's a healing. We have here, in today, in Colossians, chapter 1, starts with verse 24, which is a new section. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. Well, just think first of the generosity and the love of such an idea. I rejoice because I know my suffering is going to profit you. And that makes me happy. How many people are there? You know. Well, if I got to go through this, I hope it does somebody some good. That's still pretty good. But it is my joy. Nun quiero. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And he's thinking of the opposition, the conniving, the hatred that he faces, as he mentions later on, you know, trying to preach the gospel in their area. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me to bring to completion for you the Word of God. So, to complete the sufferings in order to bring to completion the Word of God. Now, this is, of course, one of the... It's so rich, and yet so deep and so hard to understand. And yet, all the saints understand this instinctively, right? How many of the great saints have given themselves to God and rejoiced in suffering for the church? I mean, just in our own era, Faustina, St. Therese, you know, this connection in the church. You see how the individualism and the competition and the lack of humanity in our culture doesn't give us much of a sense of connection with anybody. In fact, one of the greatest sources of so much suffering mentally is no connection with anybody. I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh, I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. Now, it helps to look closely at the words, you see. What is lacking in the afflictions of Christ? Thlipsis is the word here. It's never a word used about Jesus' sufferings. But it's a word used about the sufferings that are involved in living the Christian life and preaching. And so Christ there means Jesus, but it means the whole Christ. the church. And there is a lot lacking in the afflictions of Christ, because so few of us take upon ourselves the suffering that it takes to change our lives, to say nothing of preaching the gospel. And so there are these great people who are so generous with God and whom the Lord wins over by his love. I have a friend, and she says very often, 3 times in my life, in my spirit, I have seen the love in his eyes. And when you see that, you can't deny him anything. But this is a joy for Paul. You see, in my flesh, in my whole physical existence, you see, to fill up, like there's something lacking, and there is, in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church. What a mystery. If you ask the Lord, he will show you the meaning of this. And it will give such a deep meaning to your own life when you realize that you are suffering and that Christ is suffering in you. And that this is producing fruit to build the church. And then it radiates out from the church to the whole world. Well, what can be lacking? See, there's nothing lacking to the sufferings of Jesus. But in the mystery, you see, of what is needed to be completed. For instance, does Jesus need me to stand here and preach? No. He could preach himself. Or he could enlighten you without anybody standing here. But he doesn't do it. If I don't get up in the morning and pray and try to prepare something, you know, nothing will happen. Is that because I'm making up for what's wanting to the preaching of Christ? No. It's the way Jesus has made the church. Do you understand? This is the way the church is. If you were standing on a, you know, on the sidewalk on a hill, a little child was playing out there, and there's a truck out of control coming down the hill, what would you say? Well, God's providence, you know, he'll take care of this child, would you? No, you dash out there and save that child. Do you understand? There's something about what we do in the power of Christ that has Christ's effect on the church and on the whole world. Now, this is crystal clear to some people. Crystal clear. Long before perhaps they understand some of the other mysteries, they got this one. And what a source of hope. Think of how many people right now are dying alone of cancer in some hospital ward somewhere. Another chore for the nurse, or maybe she's very compassionate. But this person's all alone. They are not alone. That is Christ suffering in them and building the church. We don't know, for instance, how many of us got here this morning because of the generosity and suffering of somebody in Borneo. We don't know. We are that knit together. So do you see, there's nothing wanting. And yet, there is something wanting. Fill up in my work what is wanting to the preaching of Christ. There's nothing wanting to the preaching of Christ. And yet, if I or somebody else didn't stand here and preach, there would be no preaching. There would be no Eucharist. There would be no... And this is Christ in us. Huh? I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. Christ moves in me. Christ suffers in me. Christ prays in me. Christ repents in me. But he can't repent. He can't. He got baptized and joined the whole people of sinners. He offered all that suffering on the cross for sin. It wasn't His. And yet, if it weren't His in some way, it wouldn't be ours, the redemption wouldn't be ours. I offer this for your reflection today. When you get a chance, just sit and, you know, it's Colossians, starts at 1:24. And just say, you know, I would love to understand this a little bit, Lord. Bring me into it. You know, let me see what really matters in this world is what you do in your body and which radiates out and gives hope and strength to the world. And my suffering, as dumb, as humiliating, as explicable in terms of whatever as it can be, is still your suffering. When Matt Talbot lay on his face in the gutter, a drunk, and then he answered the call of God, did he suffer getting out of that gutter and working? You bet he did. But in him, Christ suffered, right, and has brought healing to how many other alcoholics? This is the mystery. And that's why you don't have to be a big shot or a preacher or anything else to be deep in the mystery of Christ, a delight to His heart that you understand and that He can count on you.